Lesson from 1 Peter this morning, which is not a gospel, so you may remain seated, but listen now to the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 14, and chapter 5, 6 through 11. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I've told you more than once, if you've been here very long, you've heard me say it. I say it often. Please don't forget this. I'm going to say it to you again this morning. The Bible doesn't say what it means, and it doesn't mean what it says. It means what it means. And I'm going to say that again. The Bible doesn't mean what it says. It doesn't say what it means. It means what it means. And it is our job to ponder and pray and study and read and struggle within our own spirit to figure out what it means. We don't like to do that, but I hope you always will with this text, with texts that are easy and with texts that are hard. I hope you will do that. This text is hard and misunderstood. We want to make it very easy. We don't like this text. Or either we change this text so that we aren't about to be devoured, but all of the rest of the folks are about to be devoured because we got it right and we know the secret, much like the Gnostics taught so very long ago. Well, we can't change the text or misinterpret them so we can live with them and enjoy them. We must buckle up and buckle down and study them and begin to let them mean what they mean so that they can help us. I'm going to skip that first picture, Alexis. But what I am going to say to you is that we have some folks that have graduated this year from high school. A few that maybe have graduated from college. Cam was one that graduated from high school. He's got 12, 13 years, maybe 14 years, crammed into his head until it feels like sometimes it's going to explode, right? Yeah, mine too. And we'll cram some more. He'll go to college and he'll learn some more. And his head will just be exploding with all this knowledge. Knowledge without faith is worthless. You can know all the facts in the world. I have incessantly watched the news this week. Not because there was anything newsworthy, but because I was so afraid, I was so busy, I had so much to do, I had so many things pulling at me, so many people pulling at me, I was afraid I was going to miss something major. You know, there was going to be another 9/11, and I was going to say, what? I didn't hear about that. And so I began to watch the news incessantly. And what I realized is I didn't know a bit more than I did when I watched it just 2 or 3 minutes at a time, a couple of times a day. It's the same news. And most of it's bad news. There's a store robbed on the lower side. There was someone shot in this parking lot. There was a car chase and a policeman got killed. Always bad news. You remember the old song from Ann Murray? How about a little good news today? So I wanted to come to you this morning bearing a lot of good news. You helped raise these young people. You helped. You may not know it, but you did. You taught them sportsmanship at the gym. You taught them how to behave themselves. You taught their friends how to behave themselves. Is your house one of the houses like mine always was, where there's always more than you count? I mean, you think, where did all these people come from? And you count because they bring their friends there. And you help teach them. You don't scold them because you're mad at them. Well, sometimes you do. You scold them because they need to be scolded. And in helping teach them, you provide for them the very best you could possibly give to them. You can send Cam off to school knowing that he knows who Christ is. You can send Cam off to school knowing that he's going to hang on, no matter what some professor someplace tells him, to the faith that he developed right here sitting on these pews. Kudos to you for doing that. We'll baptize Hazel Zent this morning, and you'll do the same thing for her. Even if they go to the University of Georgia, he's going to take his faith with him. Right. He's going to need it. My granddaughter, Rebecca. There she is. Rebecca is a sophomore at Eastside High School in Covington, and she's going to spend the best part of her summer at Quantico. She is on an FBI internship. She is being tracked by Duke, Georgia Tech, and Emory for her SAT scores. She was 15 years old before she learned to ride a bike. All of that will do her no good if she doesn't have faith. She's a tiny little thing. And now she's training with incoming FBI agents. I bet she can keep up with them. She's never been afraid of anything. And my grandson, Kanan, made second class petty officer. Is that right, Les? Am I saying that right? I'm sure Scott Leonard will correct me at 11 o'clock if it's not right. Second class. And you know what he said when he got through? He said, have to wait 3 years before I can get first class. There's a 3-year, no matter how good he does, there's 3 years in between until he gets to first class. And then he said this, Mom, you can't retire at second class. You quit, but you can't require until you've made first class in the United States Navy. So he'll stay in. That's his little sister, Lily, and his mom and dad. We're so proud of him. We had no qualms about sending him off to the United States Navy. Now, if it'd been Marines or Army, I might have had a little butterfly in my stomach. But really and truly, we knew Kanan. We taught Kanan. Kanan knew right from wrong. He had the temperament that made us know that he would do what every sailor does when they go into the Navy, but that he knew right from wrong and he knew where the boundaries were. War worries me. Kanan does not. He's learning to fly planes for the United States Navy. But here's the thing. The text says this morning that there is a roaring lion roaming around, and that lion wants to devour these young people, wants to devour us. And we, as good parents and good Christians, we want to have a magic, quick cure, a silver bullet. We want a magic formula to protect ourselves and to protect our children and those people we love. And I've come with great good news. That lion, that one that is roaming, is toothless and has no claws. That lion is only as powerful as we allow that lion to be. Not because we're smart or good or powerful ourselves, but because of our Lord, because of Christ, because He's of His death and His resurrection, He has overcome, He has won the war, the victory is behind us, it has already been won, we do not have to be afraid, we don't have to bar our children from listening to certain music, even though I would censor them if I were you. Christ has overcome. I want to tell you, and I pray you will hear me. We must, as parents and grandparents and church counselors and regular counselors and summer camp counselors and coaches and Sunday school teachers and VBS workers and friends and family and pew sitters, we must teach Jesus, preach Jesus, and live Jesus in front of our children. We must. The gospel is our hope, our security, our insurance, and our assurance that Christ has already won the war. In case you didn't know, and it seems everybody does now, I'm moving. I vowed when I took the vows of ordination to go where sent and serve where appointed, and I will do that. I was surprised, I was shocked. And in 4 or 5 years, I will go home because we're mandated a retirement. But I will not quit. As long as my mind is reasonably good, I will not quit. Lawrenceville First, big old church. I'm kind of excited about it. I'll be the first female in one of the top 20 churches in the conference. And Lawrenceville, where Jeff comes from, is one of the top 10. I sort of excited about blazing a trail for other women coming behind me. It's a good way to go out. They don't have a parsonage. They have a housing allowance. I finally found one, and it seems comfortable enough. And it's nice to know that never again in all of my life do I have to allow a board of trustees to walk through my house and open my closet doors. And most of them will open drawers that are none of their business, because they're charged with the responsibility of taking care of your property. Never again did they do that. One more time. At 385 Side Street, the trustees will come through. Never again after that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I may throw dirty underwear in the floor and just leave it there for a week or two. I like the people at Lawrenceville. I know them from camp meeting. It's kind of exciting. But I want you to know that I feel like I'm being devoured. I'm trying to serve this church and do a good job right up to the last day. I'm trying to serve that church and make a good transition and meet all the people I need to meet in order to do good ministry. But I have loved you and always will. And while I'm excited, I'm very, very sad. I hate to leave you. But there is nowhere I can be sent that God is not already there. Learned that a long time ago. There was one place I went I didn't think he was there for a while. And there is no one that can be sent to you that God is not already with and prepping to serve you. And so you should be hopeful and positive. You are a good church. You are a great church. I've told you over and over again that you're one of the best churches in all of North Georgia. And you made the church that way, not a preacher. Not a preacher. You can't name a preacher that ever has served here that's made this church into what it is. You've made this church into what it is. And God bless you for it. You have a job to do, and I have every confidence that you will do it in spite of the lions that roar. I have every confidence that you will do it. You must teach the children. You must train the youth. You must take care of the sick. You must love the unlovable. You must feed the hungry. You must house the homeless. You must do missions. You must keep going to the prisons and visiting with those folks. You must balance the budget. You must bring in the community. You must teach Bible studies. You must sing when it's time to sing. You must worship when it's time to worship. And these folks up here will lead you in that worship. When I walked in this morning, I was so aggravated I could die. And Chris knows it because she was the one that caught it. I don't know who the flowers are from, so I can't thank anybody. How did that happen? I didn't know the choir was going to be here. And I said, what are all those people doing up there? Is there something going to happen today we don't know about? Jeff said, no, I don't know what they're doing up there. Where are the baptismal towels? We had a look for them. We didn't know where they were. There were 1,000 finite details. And in spite of the fact that there were things that happened last week when I was in other places doing other things, we came to worship. I have no doubt that you will continue to worship. And you must. You must be the church, and you will. Because you love Christ, and because you're committed to Christ. And because love is the answer and always will be, and we all know that. I know you will. Amen. Closing hymn is found on page